Angie, so we talk about this enterprise performance report as something that's fundamental and that every dealership should be using. Can you explain why that is and what dealers can learn from this report?
Yeah, of course. The Enterprise Performance Report is one of our most dynamic reports. You can really get lost in the weeds when it comes to filtering out what you want to see. And the good thing about it is it doesn't really matter if you are communicating with or coaching a salesperson, a BD agent, a BD manager, a sales manager, or if you're a dealer principal and you want to see what's happening in your entire group. This is a really great way to check kind of the overall health score of how your store is performing.
That's a really excellent point. And so I'd love to open this up to the panel now. Mario, how are you using this with your clients? And are there any numbers that you recommend they try to achieve?
Well, to Angie's point, the report is really flexible. And one of the most important things is that the dealer works with their performance manager to adjust the filters so that this report is measuring the data how we want to be measuring it. As an example, closing ratio can be drastically affected if we include just sold delivered, or are we also gonna include on order pending finance into that number? So we need to talk through those data points to make sure that it's reporting the information how the dealer wants it to be reported. Mm. Also, there are 150 data points that we can add to this report, and all three of us are going to build this report differently, right? That's, we all have different things that are important to us in how we work with our dealers, and that means that each dealer also probably wants to build it differently as well. So it's really, really important. When you first open this up, it's not going to show you what you want it to be showing you. Mm-hmm. So you need to adjust those filters and then save a version of it once you have adjusted it accordingly.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. So we talked about how there's some differences in what filters you might show or what information you might show. What do you like to bring up on this report for your clients, Kevin?
With most dealerships, if you ask them as a performance manager, which I ask a lot of dealerships, go, where are you at right now? What's your closing percentage for internet phone walk-in? What's your appointment set ratio? Most of the time, they don't know exactly where to go. Mm. Okay, and if you don't know where you are, how can you get to where you want to go? This is a perfect report to start that identifies, do I have to go back to that information capture report? Am I not communicating properly with the customer? Do I have the right info to communicate? Hmm. And if there's a break in the front, the back end of it, where it would facilitating the sale, well, this report will show us in a very linear way, right across the board, where am I at? What am I doing? What's my team doing? And am I achieving those goals? Which, I'll just say this, it's probably the best stores I've ever engaged with have short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals as far as what they're trying to achieve. If you don't have a goal, what are we doing? Why are we even talking about reporting if you don't know where you're going? You ask them, and dealers that are listening, if you don't have a goal, what are we doing every day? What are we trying to achieve? Just selling cars and making money? That comes from somewhere, right?
And to your point, you had asked, what are some benchmarks that we look at? First, I'm going to start with sold and time frame ratio. We want to see that internet number consistently between 10 and 12%. That tells us you're doing a pretty solid, pretty healthy job of selling the opportunities that you have coming in. That phone closing ratio, this particular store is at 19%. But, something that's also backed up by Kevin's KPI workshops is a 48% closing ratio on the phone. Those people are contacting you, right? If they're calling you, we should be able to close right. Half of those people, and don't get us wrong. We also understand that inventory right now is an issue, right? There's a lot of stuff happening that are outside of our that's outside of our control.
Sure.
But we should still be able to close right. 45 to 48% of those phone opportunities.
We bust our butt trying to get customers to engage with us in the internet department. And the phone, they're calling you.
Right.
Hello, we have the contact.
Yes. And think about, how much is the average it costs per lead right now? whether they're calling you, walking in, or
hundreds of dollars.
Right. Yes. Mm. So every time I see one of those unsold, I'm like, okay, if we do that backwards math, that's 12 grand you're missing out on, or whatever the number is, or that you've spent, I should say. But then when it comes to walk-in closing ratios, 56% tells us that, you know, again, we're doing well with the opportunities that are coming in and closing them as we should.
One of the things that I mentioned just a minute ago, you know, just coasting right off of Angie is, you know, I like to talk to the managers when we're having this conversation. If you don't know where to go, like we talked about in the previous session, if you don't know where to go, there are three things that you should focus on as a manager that this report's going to really help you take your store to the next level. Number one is the conversion rates. Now, if you look at a conversion rate and you're off, like just Angie was saying, 7%, we like to see it right around, you know, 10 to 12%. Well, if that's off, then I need to go to the info piece that we just went on the previous one. Do I have the info necessary to communicate with that person? And if the answer is yes, then I have to go to the second piece, which is the second pillar, is appointment performance. Let's look at our appointment performance over here, and we're at 16%. Now, the benchmark for contacted customers that we set an appointment with is right around 32 to 35%. All right, that's a good benchmark of contacted customers, not out of total leads, ladies and gentlemen, but out of contacted customers. Now, if that is off, what are we saying to them? I mean, I can't get someone to commit if I'm not saying the right thing to them.
So I actually do 36% of good leads.
Heck yeah.
As opposed to just from contacted. You know, I think Mario would agree that if you're contacting them, you should be able to set at least 50%.
So this is how I would frame it, is if your expectation is you should be setting 50% appointments with your phone leads, a contacted internet lead is somebody, it's like a phone lead at that point, right? We're in control of that conversation now. So I think it might be a stretch, but I think, you know, north of 40% is achievable, and I have a lot of stores, you know, getting to that goal. But it also, to Angie's point, it has to do with your inventory. There are some manufacturers where we're still struggling with new car inventory, and one of the beauties of the Enterprise Performance Report is there's a third level of summary option where we can take this report, do a couple of clicks, and now we can see this data broken out by inventory type. Because you're probably going to have a significantly different closing ratio on your new car internet leads than you are your pre-owned internet leads. And I would expect that. I would expect you to have a higher closing ratio on your used than your new. And if it's not that way, then that might be an area of opportunity for us where we might have the easiest thing for us to move the needle on is, what are we doing with our used car opportunities?
Okay.
But ultimately, to me, to Kevin's point, looking at appointment set of contacted, measures what are we saying, and also what are we doing to overcome whatever the objection was.
When we're talking about internet leads, now let's just face it, in our world today, you don't have to come to a dealership to buy a vehicle. When you're online shopping for a vehicle, on all the platforms, you have the pictures, you have the VIN, the miles, the price, the equipment, packaging, Carfax, all that stuff. They have all the information, you know, compared to when it was like in the early 2000s and before, you had to go to the dealership to get the information. Now you don't have to come to the dealership. So when customers call us, it's mostly, and I'm seeing, I want to hear what you all have to say, but when they call us, it's mostly because they can't get specific information online.
Sure.
And that's mostly in our dealership world, quote unquote, car dealership world, it's that we don't want to give them information because we want them here.
We want to control.
We want to control it. So you made a really good point, Mario, about what we are exactly saying to get the customer to engage with us. So I like to look at, and this is just my mindset as a performance manager, I like to look at the appointment set of contact with internet, because they can go to 8, 9 different dealerships, and they're probably asking all the same questions. What's my best price? I need your out-the-door number. What's my trade worth? Is it available? Do you have a market adjustment price? Yada, yada, whatever they're saying. And our response to that customer is ultimately a factor on if we're setting that appointment or not.
Absolutely.
Do you think that there's some value to that too?
100%. And I would take it one step further, the idea of a digital TO. So, you know, we all have 20 plus years of experience in automotive, right? Before I could take my first up, I had to sit through Grant Cardone's 50 Reasons Why Somebody Doesn't Buy a Car CD set, right? I did sell the first up I had. It was a black Jeep Cherokee, and I cried because they split the deal with somebody that could do the paperwork because I didn't know what I was doing. But without going into those details, when we make contact and we don't set an appointment with a customer, that is exactly the same as somebody coming into your showroom and leaving without buying a car, right? Okay. There was an objection as to why they weren't comfortable or didn't want to buy the car today. There's 50 reasons why that happens. There's about a dozen reasons why somebody doesn't set an appointment. And a lot of dealerships are really good at coaching and role-playing overcoming objections on, I have to come and think about it, or you know, those things where they're leaving without buying a car. Very few dealerships are good at coaching and working on how to overcome objections regarding appointment setting. And if you ask the salespeople, it's the same things over and over and over and over again. As managers, when I say them out loud, you're gonna instantly already know what you would say if the customer said that, right? Like, I just started shopping. I need to talk to my wife. I'm waiting for my insurance check. I hit a deer and I'm waiting for my, you know, my insurance check or my tax check or whatever,
those
right?
Deers.
You know, well, I live in Minnesota, right? So right. Deer is the thing. So, but like, we already know how we would respond to all of those. Your salespeople aren't that fast. They're not as good at overcoming objections because we are better than they are, right? That's why we're managers. That's how we got that position, was we were the best salespeople. So what you guys getting involved, the dealer, when I say you guys, when managers get involved with contacted internet leads to help figure out what was the objection and how do we overcome it, is that digital, the idea of the digital TO. Because if we don't do that, all we're gonna do is expect Johnny to call tomorrow and say the same thing that didn't work today. Mm-hmm. So getting involved in those contacted customers that we failed on to set that appointment is how I think we can move the needle most easily with our overall closing percentage, because we can control how many cars we sell by how many appointments we set.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at this report and it's really just about the overall health of the store and how, you know, in this case, it's how you guys have been doing for the last 60 days. If we identify something, you know, maybe we are not setting enough appointments, right? And that's what we're going to try and focus on. It really brings it back to planning, executing, and measuring.
Yeah, having a plan, yeah.
Right. So realistically, if I see that we're maybe not closing as many people as we should, we got to look at the other aspects of this. You know, if I'm not setting the appointments, is it content or cadence, mm-hmm. right? Is it how often I'm saying something, or vice versa? Is it what I'm saying to the customer or how often I'm saying it? You know, and those are things that honestly your PMs can help you with. You know, we can modify processes. Obviously, with your permission, we can talk to you about some really great selling points for the consumer. But if you're not helping your customer, you're only hurting yourself.
So I'd love to zoom in a little bit on this notion of
sure.
content and on this notion of some of the common objections you would get, a salesperson would get from customers. Would you advise that dealers come up with some sort of standard answers to these objections or standard ways of dealing with them? What I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
They should already have them. There are a million training sessions out there, and frankly, we know it's price, payment, the dealership, or the salesperson.
Mario, you all made a really good point. Like, it really comes down to the leadership team, okay? And I don't want to get too off track of this report, but this conversation, managers, is what we get when we look at these reports. Something that makes performance managers really valuable in my eyes is we're like a therapist. Okay, we're non-biased. We don't know your team. We don't know you, like, because we don't spend all that time with you like you do your team. You know, your team, your store becomes your family at a certain point. When we look at this report, our job is to point out a failure. And a failure is opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, where in this report do I look at that just stands out and goes, that's wrong? And we got to dive into it. We have to expand on that. We got to drill it down to a user, and then we have to look at what is, like you just mentioned ago, do you have a plan? Like, do you have a plan when you answer the phone? Do you have a plan when you send an email or a message? And most of the time, We don't.
Yeah.
And just to Mario's point, and I'll get off the pulpit here, is Mario's point, you know, is like what process do you have? What are you doing? And managers will look at this as well and put your tasks in here too. If you have too many tasks that are being missed, that's an opportunity. Yeah, you missed them, but do we have too many tasks?
Right.
Do salespeople take phone ups? Do they take internet leads? Do they still talk to customers? Do they deliver cars? If they have to do all of those, we have to look using these reports to identify, do those processes make sense for us to complete them as well? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can talk about, this is one of the best reports that we have in our tool that is very versatile for any manager that can constantly change and move and adjust, that points in a direction of what do I need to work on? I think that's the problem that a lot of managers face in today's market. We talked about the challenges with the inventory. We've talked about challenges with the salespeople and the COVID mindset. This report helps you put back on track.
And you have to hold yourselves accountable as a management team. We can tell you, we can point out things to you that don't make sense to us, right? We can point out those opportunities, and sometimes it's not easy for us to give you that bad news. You know, you think you're doing great and I'm telling you that you're setting 6% appointments and you go, yeah, that's great. It's better than zero. And it's true. I mean, yes, it's better than zero, but we're going to tell you that there's an opportunity there for improvement.
Michael Jordan had a coach.
Everyone has a coach. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Your store could be crushing it. You guys could be closing, you could be hitting all your benchmarks, you could be reaching your OEM objectives, you guys can be making, you know, and a lot of stores are still making record profits and record volume, and we've, you know, the stores have been very successful over the last few years. As a performance manager, from, you know, to Kevin's point, therapist, coach, like, we're gonna look at this data with no emotion attached to it. That appointment setting data, that's whack.
Yeah.
That is not lining up with what's going on here. And we should maybe, is that something that's important to you guys? And if it is, let's set a goal. Let's write it down. I'm going to set up reporting to help you measure it for the next month. And we're going to look at this again.
So on that point of thinking about the importance of this report and the versatility of this report, I'm wondering if you guys have any examples from your own client base of somebody using information in this report to improve one of these key metrics or, you know, their overall sales performance?
Yep, I do. It was most recent too. Back in June, dealership was really struggling. And I had a call from the managing partner called me up and it was the first time he really vented. He's like, I'm having a problem. I can't manage. I don't know what to do. I'm trying the hardest I can to manage and keep everything together. I'm being pulled in 15 different directions with everything. And, you know, What are other dealerships doing? And so to Angie's point, you know, she said, go in the showroom and listen. You know, I went to the dealership, I'm sitting there and I walk around, I'm listening. Not only listening to the salespeople, I'm also watching the managers.
Mm.
Okay, and any manager here, if you want to start somewhere outside of this and, you know, get a clear vantage point of where your store's at, stop working, all right? Take an hour out of your day and don't work. You want to sell cars all day long as a manager? Go sell cars. Be a salesperson. You want to be a manager? You got to step out of that role and manage the store and just look and watch. So I was there watching the store and I noticed that all the sales managers are just trying to put car deals together. It wasn't a really strong hierarchy. So we sat down and we built a hierarchy for the GM, the GSM, and the sales managers. They had four sales managers, and we broke all the sales managers into teams and gave each manager four or three salespeople, which it's easier for one person to manage three or four than having six or seven managers trying to manage the whole entire team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So divide and conquer. And inside of that, we also created the hierarchy where if the GSM had a problem with a salesperson, you just call the manager and have the manager take care of it. And that created a really solid structure in the store. Looking at these reports by team, we can identify the team that was struggling the most, and we drilled it down to the user. And that was the coaching opportunity we did. And here's the best part, I think. The team came up with every 2 weeks, we're gonna sit with our team, and we're gonna go over a way that they can sell more cars. And they would write down opportunity found and action plan, whether it was what you're saying, collecting contact information, getting the customer back, setting up whatever the opportunity they were failing at by looking at the report. If they were down in something, we dove into it.
That's
and then
great.
The action plan is, this is what I want you to do. And then they wrote it on a piece of paper, put them in a file folder. Yeah, we went old school. And then 2 weeks later, we said, let's see where you're at now. And the whole goal was, in a positive light, how can I help you sell more cars? And using this report, it made it so easy for the manager to identify who and what to do. Mm. And today, currently, they are leading the whole entire team. They're doing the best job in conversion rates, appointments, data capture, everything all around the board. And talking to them, they're like, I'm doing less work because it's more structured. Mm. So, and it all started with this report.
So, you know, if you care about making money, make sure that your team is doing what you expect them to do from the top down. You know, yes, for an example, I work with, you know, one of my larger groups, and it was, you know, 17 stores. One of the stores was really struggling with their closing ratio for internet. And, you know, I told them that I believed it was a direct correlation to their, you know, response time. Because they had a really high response time, you know, like 50 plus minutes. They were closing at like 5% on internet combined, new and used. Their contact percentage was fine, but then their appointment percentage was way down. And so I, you know, kind of painted the picture of, if you're not the first person to make contact, you might make contact with the customer, but they've already set an appointment with Johnny down the road. So, you know, you're probably not going to get an opportunity to sell that customer a car until, you know, Johnny screws up or doesn't give them enough for their trade or whatever, versus if you have a faster response time, as long as it's still, we're not sacrificing quality, right? We're reading the lead and answering the questions and all that. We're going to have the ability to get the opportunity to set that appointment. And we got their response time down under 20 minutes. Contact percentage went up a little bit, but like I said, they were making contact before. It was just late contact. And then we were able to get that appointment set to contacted over that 30% threshold into that lower 40 percentile threshold. And now they're closing at 13%. You know, and for a store with a high volume, going from 5% to 13% on internet leads, that's real money.
Right.
Right. It wasn't any more effort. They just did it sooner. Instead of waiting 50 minutes, they did it at 15 minutes. Same amount of effort. And the other thing that we also focused on was productivity, right? You know, my goal for our dealers I work with is 10x attempts per op. So if I have 100 leads, I want to see at least 1,000 attempts on those leads. So it's one of the other things you can measure with this report is outbound calls, outbound emails, outbound text messages, and total outbound communication. So focusing on that drives those appointments and drive those car deals.
But what I will say to this report is, when you do drill it down and you as a manager in any capacity look at the data and find an opportunity, or we as performance managers tell you that something is not right, we don't want to just be the person to tell you it's not right. We want to help you formulate that plan. We're not just going to look at a report, say, you're not scheduling enough appointments, and tell you to go set a bunch of appointments, right? That doesn't work.
No.
So find that value in your performance manager to be able to connect the dots and really put that plan in place. I think it's just really important.
I have one last remark for all the managers out there watching this. No manager wants to hear that they didn't do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. You know, and I don't know one manager that's going to stand in front of their owner and go, it was my fault. I didn't do it. I failed. No one's going to do that. I wouldn't have done that. There's a difference between managers manage things and keep things in order. Leaders change things.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at these reports, especially the Enterprise Performance Report, we have managers that will sit there and have an answer for every single thing that we'll show them. That's not the mindset as a manager that you need to be in mm-hmm. to take your store to the next level. Ask yourself this, if I left the dealership, could they sell more cars? If you left the dealership, would they continue to grow? You know, you could say, yeah, well, they're probably continuing to grow. What impact are you putting in the store as the leader of the store? And use this report to identify a failure and learn and ask your performance manager, what do you see? You know, forget the, you know, I know what's going on in my store, because a lot of managers do. Great, good for you. Mm-hmm. How are you going to make it grow? What are you going to change? using this report really in a linear way shows all your lead types and how you're performing. Find a problem and ask, because that's going to help you grow. Just like Mario said, you change one little thing and it sets off a whole chain reaction. Listen, we can sell cars. That's what we do. It's not hard.
It's a new right? opportunity.
It's in the middle of selling the car and getting them to the store is the biggest problem. That's the focus. If you're not getting 100%, which nobody is, it's an opportunity for growth.
Well, I thank everyone for sharing their points here on the Enterprise Performance Report. We hope that was valuable to the audience, and we suggest that you watch our other segments on the different reports as well. Thank you.